T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I appreciate that, cuz I'm going to move this music down and we're going to bring something else in. We're going to bring in a little Public Enemy to get this one started here as we move on and start bench or cut. All right. Three players. You got to start one. You got to bench one. You got to cut one. Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Ja Morant. You got to start one. You got to bench one. You got to cut one. JD, you started the last one. Coz, where are you at on this?
All right. I'm looking at the future of the NBA, and I told you the future of the NBA is a picture of Luka Doncic. But the picture also includes your Rugrats, guys who can move and get to the basket, and who can score, who can do good things. The future is not big, non-shooting, mispositioned players. So in this group of three, Ben Simmons, Trae Young, Ja Morant, I am going to start Trae Young. I am going to bench Ja Morant. And Ben Simmons, bye-bye. Go off to Team Australia, where you can lead them with your non-shooting skills. Bye-bye, Ben.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Brutal.
I'm not a Ben Simmons guy. And I'm pro Australia.
We agree and we disagree on this, Coz.
Mm-hmm.
I flip-flopped him. I'm going Ja as my starter because I think what he's done as a rookie is more impressive than what we've seen from Trae Young to this point, although Trae Young is catching up fast. Trae as my bench player, and I'm cutting Ben Simmons as well. You got to have a point guard that can get it done, that can shoot, that can be dynamic, that can get to the rim, that can do it all. Now, that being said, I think Trae Young 2 years from now, may be lapping the field with the other two.
I'm pro Trae Young only because he's the best nutmegger in the NBA. So you get a point guard nutmegging guys all over the floor, I say go for it. That's entertainment, baby.
So that's it. If you can dribble between a guy's legs and catch it on the other side, you got to start on your team?
Yep, exactly. That's my first drill. Who can do this?
All right, I get it. You guys want to
move on? Ja Morant's fun to watch. He's another fun, likability guy. When you watch the NBA, I know, the Memphis Grizzlies aren't on your radar immediately as a team to watch. Ja Morant makes them fun.
And I think he makes everyone around him better, too. He's one of those specific type of players that could be championship bound, within the next 3-4 years.
And dude, they're the 8th seed right now in the West. They're supposed to be in a rebuild, and they're the 8th seed.
Sheesh.
Yep. All right, you guys want to move on?
Yeah.
All right. We got LeBron, Kawhi, and the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. You got to start one. You got to bench one. You got to cut one. LeBron James, Kawhi Leonard, or the Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I'm starting LeBron. I'm bringing Kawhi off the bench, and I'm cutting the Greek freak. Yeah, I said it.
Oof.
The MVP.
How could you do that?
Oh.
I'm cutting the reigning MVP.
Mm. Coach?
I cannot believe it.
Yeah.
Why? Why would you do that?
I mean, LeBron speaks for himself. I mean, Giannis would have to have 15 seasons like last year before he would be on LeBron's level. And Kawhi, when Kawhi's right, he's as good or better than anybody. I'm tempted because of his lack of availability to cut Kawhi. I was tempted to do it, but ultimately I went with, on my team, Kawhi. I'm keeping Kawhi, but I'm benching Kawhi because on my team, I'm demanding that Kawhi play with regularity. So I'll put it this way. If Kawhi refuses to play with regularity on my team, he's getting cut and I'm keeping the Greek Freak. So I'll give you that one caveat. I don't do Kawhi plays 55 games and he picks and chooses. I don't do that on my team. You're playing or you're getting cut. So if that's going to be an issue, then hit the pike, Kawhi. I'm taking Giannis.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because here's how I was going to go. I'm starting Kawhi. I'm bringing LeBron off the bench and I'm cutting the Greek Freak. But if you're right, the underlying factor here is am I getting 82-game Kawhi or am I getting 55-game Kawhi? But if I just – if I'm playing a series –
am I getting 9-game Kawhi? Or am I getting 9-game I don't want to play for your team anymore Kawhi?
Yeah. Yeah. But if I'm getting it for a series and I know he's playing in a series, a 7-game series, and that's what – and I'll tell you what, Stephen, that's what I'm going to use as my – kind of my factor. What am I getting him for? This is for a 7-game series.
Okay.
I'm starting Kawhi. I'm bringing LeBron off the bench. Greek Freak, you're going to be watching it from the comfort of your couch.
But can Kawhi nutmeg is the question.
It's a good question. I think he can. Better yet, though, he won't let anyone nutmeg him. So
right.
That's the key.
The interesting thing with these three is you mentioned how LeBron just stands out among all the others. Well, I feel the same way about Giannis, too. Kawhi, though, doesn't necessarily stand out. But then when you're in the middle of the game, you all of a sudden realize this dude's dominating. Like, he's better than every other player on the floor. It's not so much a visceral thing at first like LeBron and Giannis, but Kawhi can dominate a game just as much as those two guys.
Yep.
I like it.
You want to move on?
Yes.
You got a good one here. Start, bench, or cut. Steve Nash, Chris Paul, or Kyrie Irving? Steve Nash, Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving. Chris Paul.
You want to start, Coz, with this one? I mean, to me, this is an easy one in terms of not who starts or come off the bench, but it's an easy one for me as far as who gets cut. Kyrie, you're out.
Kyrie gets cut. I agree. Kyrie gets the boot.
But how do you differentiate between the other two as far as who to start and who to have off the bench?
Oh, man. Steve Nash, maybe. So his two MVP years, right, when he's running around the floor with the Phoenix Suns in the 8 seconds or less offense, was a different player in the NBA, right? Smaller than everyone else, and yet changed the game. He was kind of like Steph, but not the same scorer. But he was different in that he had an effect on the game so much from the point guard spot. Chris Paul has been, you know, steady Eddie, really great throughout his career. I'm going to go Nash. I'm starting Nash. I'm bringing Chris Paul off the bench, and I'm cutting Kyrie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
that
what
is
I'm
interesting.
Doing.
Yeah. I think I'm going to flip it. I think Chris Paul overall has had the better. I think he's been the better player more consistently. I think Nash at his peak was the better player, but as far as running a team and just, hey, we're going to win at all costs, I think I'm going Chris Paul.
Really?
I'm gonna start Chris Paul. I mean, they're both Hall of Famers. They're both all-time greats. I love Steve Nash. I mean, Steve Nash is one of my favorite players of all time. But I think Chris Paul, he's almost become underrated, I think. You know, I don't know. I think maybe it's just I'm too impressed with Oklahoma City and what he did with them this year. I don't know. I think Steve Nash, the two MVPs stand out. But Chris Paul, over the course of his career, has been damn good. I'm going with CP3.
I think Chris Paul has been damn good. In fact, I maintain Steph Curry is having the career that Chris Paul was supposed to have. Chris Paul's been dang good. But, man, I just don't see him. He didn't change the game the same way Nash did. And if Nash doesn't get hip-checked into the scores table by Robert Horry of the Spurs in a blatantly flagrant foul, I think Phoenix goes on to win that series and win the NBA title. I think they were that good and played that different of basketball at the time. Whereas for Chris Paul, what's the closest he's ever been? Conference final?
The one conference final with Houston against the Warriors.
I mean, and that one, unfortunately, he came up with a hamstring issue. I'm gonna go Nash, Paul, Kyrie. You get the boot.
Kyrie, the only one with a championship and hitting that big three to beat the 73-win Warriors in that one season. You guys are just gonna cut him straight up.
Yeah, I know that's tough, but
I don't even feel bad about it. Like I would cut him and not even feel bad about it.
All right, we got one more, fellas. We got one more on start, bench, or cut. Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, or Kevin Garnett? KG, Patrick Ewing, Karl Malone. You got to start one, you got to bench one, you got to cut one.
Boy. I'm gonna start Karl Malone. I am going to bring Kevin Garnett off the bench. And I'm going to cut Patrick Ewing. Athleticism, versatility, give Garnett the nod over Patrick Ewing. I'm going to feel bad cutting Patrick Ewing because I like Patrick Ewing. Unlike Kyrie Irving, I would not feel bad cutting him. I'm going to feel bad, but I'm going to cut Patrick Ewing and keep KG and the mailman.
I hate to end this by a sputtering to the finish. But the mailman clearly gets the start in this one. And KG certainly has to come off the bench. Patrick Ewing will be watching from his couch. Patrick, I know that you were part of the Dream Team. He also was part of the 88 team that lost the gold medal for the United States, I might add, that led to the eventual Dream Team in 92. So Patrick Ewing, you, my friend, are getting cut. I agree with you, JD, on this one. I absolutely agree with you. And they're all Hall of Famers. They're all fabulous in their own way. It's a shame Malone never won a title. It's a shame Ewing never won a title. KG got his with Boston. But that's how I see it with those three. All fabulous, fabulous players. All, by the way, let me ask you this. Which of those three, put them in order of who could play in today's game? JD, if I change the question, I gave you those three guys. Give me the order of who you think could play in today's game.
Of Malone, Garnett, and Ewing?
Yeah.
Malone and Garnett. I mean, I think Ewing, especially as Ewing went on and had, you know, more of the knee problems, I think it would be difficult. He'd get run around on a lot. Now, I think he's terrific, especially when he was younger, but I think older Patrick Ewing would have a tough time. In today's game, Garnett and Malone easily could play. Malone would be playing center, but he'd be playing.
Yeah. Garnett, I might change the order if that was the question. How would they perform in today's game? I might put Garnett first and Malone second. Ewing gave me one of my favorite NBA moments, though. He was playing for the Seattle Sonics at the time. This is near the end of his career. He's playing in Sacramento. He gets kicked out of the game, and as he's walking towards the tunnel, you know, the fans were pretty tight on top of you in the old Arco Arena. And Ewing's walking off the floor. The place is going bonkers. And there are these two guys, and they're slightly built. I'll say that, you know, they weren't the largest human beings on the planet. They were kind of, you know, maybe my size, you know, the little guys.
Okay.
But they're sitting in the good seats, and they are in their cups, so, you know, they got a little liquid courage going. And they are letting Ewing have it as Ewing is just walking slowly towards that end zone tunnel.
Like Jerry Sloan style, letting him have it?
Letting him have it. Yes, letting him have it. And as Ewing comes close to the tunnel entrance where these two guys are sitting, he just, as he's walking, he kind of flinches. You know, like you're going to throw a punch at somebody, or you fake like you're going to make a move at somebody?
Yeah.
These two guys, I swear to you, I saw a little piddle come out of their pants. Ewing's walking, gives him a flinch, and these two guys virtually wet themselves right there. They couldn't shut up fast enough and sit down like their teacher had just scolded them, for crying out loud. It was one of my favorite moments of going to an NBA game, to see this huge NBA star guy just laying into him. And he just gives like that quick, he wasn't going to do anything. He wasn't going to hit the fan. He was going to, nothing like it. And these two guys wet themselves. Absolutely love that moment. That's a perfect moment. All right, Steven, we've played your game. How did we do?
I think you did overall okay. I didn't write down any of the results because I am disorganized. Curly was actually meant to do all of it, and he just didn't give me any sheet or anything. But yeah.
Somebody's phoning it in on a 4-day weekend.
I was going to say.
Or today's the first day.
Honestly, Curly.
What's happening back there? No Jolo and Dibs? You guys figure you don't have to put in the effort, huh? Coming up in 14 minutes from now, Jeremy Lin is going to join us. And it's my understanding he is in Beijing right now because he plays for the Beijing Ducks of the Chinese Basketball Association. And he is in Beijing now. And I want to get confirmation of that. Is he, Steven, if you could ask our producer, John Curley, is that where he is right now? Or is he still in the States and then he has to fly back there? Because it's my understanding that the Chinese League, they are about to be up and running. Is that correct? That they're, John Dickinson, have you, I think that's correct, that the Chinese Basketball Association, they tried to get up and running, and then they've called it off for a little bit, and they're going to slow down their process of coming back to play.
They were very close, I think, at one point, and then had to dial it back. I haven't 100% been keeping up with that, but I do know they were close at one point and then had to dial it back.
It's my understanding that he is in Beijing and we are going to be joined by him at 8:30 our time. So I'm looking forward to that. I will be honest. I mean, there are a lot of sensitive questions to ask in this circumstance, with Jeremy Lin being in China and. You know, COVID-19 started in China. How safe does he feel? How important is it that the Chinese Basketball Association is up and running? What safety precautions are they going through? Are those, John, do you find those to be fair questions to ask him? Because I want to be sensitive to everyone. To get somebody who's actually there on the ground, that would be an intriguing, or someone who may be going there. I think those are intriguing questions.
Yeah, I think you have to. If we're going to have him on, he brings a perspective on this whole thing, unlike many folks can bring, just based on, you know, where he is and he's a player playing over there, and they've, you know, no question, it's fair. And he's also, interestingly enough, one of the more beloved Warriors of all time, even though he wasn't a Warrior for very long. I think there's another fascinating dynamic there that maybe we can get into.
Is he, what do you think that, let me ask it this way then. Do you think part of that is when he left Golden State, Lin's sanity began in New York? Is that part of the lore that he was ours and he went off to do these great things in the Apple, and maybe that's part of the reason that he shines so bright, you know, because he really did. He was here.
Yeah, although it's interesting, though, too, because you could make a case at that point when Lin's sanity broke out that it was, oh, boy, that's another bad move by the Warriors. They let this guy get away, and now look at him. He could have been, you know, a budding star for us. So because this was at the time, you know, Lin's sanity was 2012. So, you know, this was going on, you know, pre-Monte Ellis trade. You know, so it really didn't, which – I think makes it all the more fascinating that he is beloved because, again, typically players that wind up going on and doing better things elsewhere, typically those players are not beloved among teams, but yet he is. So, yeah. There's a unique positioning there for him.
All right, so we're going to hear from Jeremy Lin at 8:30. Coming up in 11 minutes from right now. A couple of other fun things along the way, NBA related. I know that ESPN had put a question out. This is, again, it's part of the fun that we're having during this time that we're in with no actual games going on. We're doing barstool conversation, right? We're sitting in a bar. We're just talking about, hey, what ifs? The ESPN question in a seven-game series, who would win? The Lakers grouping of Magic Johnson, Jerry West, Kobe Bryant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Shaquille O'Neal versus an all-time Warriors five of Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, and throw Wilt Chamberlain in from the old Philadelphia Warriors, and you add him to the group. That's a, you know, that's a fun grouping right there. If I look at those names immediately, just right off the top, I have the Lakers winning pretty easily, quite frankly.
Yeah, I'd have to really think about it a little bit more. I would have the Lakers winning. I don't know about easily. But then, you know, we got to have the conversation, you know, what rules are you playing under and all
I'm
of the,
sick
you know,
of that conversation.
I know.
Hate that. I don't want to qualify it. I just want to look at the names and go.
I'm with you. Well, when I do that, I say Lakers. When I look at the names and go in that scenario, I'm with you. I say Lakers. You know, maybe we're too. I'm worried we're a little. Maybe we're too similar, Coz. We're too similar.
Yeah.
Got to break
That's
us
true.
Up.
But you know, if you start to break it down, though, I mean, if you have Kareem and Shaq on the floor, it is going to be hard for them to defend. You know, you put Shaq on Wilt, but who's Kareem? Kareem's not going to chase Kevin Durant on the perimeter. He's not going to chase Draymond Green, who can handle the ball on the perimeter. You can create some incredible matchup problems for that scenario and build a case for the Golden State Warriors because of the style that they play. Although I do think Jerry West would have been able to shoot three-point shots with the best of them. Kobe obviously could. Those two guys clearly match up very favorably with the Curry-Thompson combination platter. Is Magic going to chase Kevin Durant around the floor? I don't know if that happens. So, you know, maybe there are some matchup scenarios where the Warriors would be at an advantage.
Yeah, to me, there wouldn't be – there just it would be difficult to defend both ways. I'll put it that way. There wouldn't be a lot of defense being played, I don't think, in this game with these two teams going at it just because there's so much – talent offensively. I look at the Laker players in this and I see legends, you know, I see, you know, not just Hall of Famers, but all-time freaking great Hall of Famers. And like
right.
like guys that like yes, Klay Thompson's probably a Hall of Famer. Okay, but Klay Thompson's not Jerry West. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's, you know, Magic Johnson is, you know, Steph Curry's a Hall of Famer. Magic Johnson is, and Steph Curry's a legend. But Magic Johnson's on a whole nother level in terms of legendom. You know what I mean?
It's like, you're saying if you took the Hall of Fame, the guys in the Hall of Fame, and created just a Hall of Fame of the Hall of Famers, and the other guys were in the Hall of Very Good, I understand what you're saying. There are some guys of the Hall of Famers. There are some guys who are legendary, game-changing, otherworldly types. And again, that might be era because when I look at Magic Johnson, I think he's in that category. When I think of Larry Bird, he's in that category. When I think of Michael Jordan, he's in that category. Those are the guys that, you know, I was watching in my key formative NBA loving years. So to me, they are that way. There might be guys today who think, oh, Magic Johnson couldn't shoot a jump shot. He couldn't play in today's game. There might be guys who think Larry Bird was slow. He was like a slow white corner jump shooter and not know the brilliance of what Larry Bird brought. You know what I mean? Just generationally, we see guys in the way we see them in our era. So maybe that changes how we look at the greater players of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, I just look at, you know, Shaq. You know, and look, Wilt is in that category as well, but the Lakers team's got Shaq and Kareem, right? You got Shaq and Kareem with Kobe and West and Magic. You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, to me, that's where, like, Shaq and Kareem is better than Wilt and Draymond. You know what I mean? If you want to group it that way. Kobe and Durant, okay, maybe they are... You know, mano a mano. Jerry West and Klay Thompson. I mean, Klay Thompson's great, but if you want to say Kobe Bryant and Kevin Durant maybe cancel each other out, I think you could say that Kobe Bryant has an edge there. But even if you want to say they cancel each other out, even if you want to say Magic and Curry cancel each other out, to me there's still an advantage of Jerry West over Klay Thompson and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar over Draymond Green. It's just that next level of legendom over the Warriors squad having legends in their own right, but guys that aren't of that same ilk.
Who would you have coaching the teams?
Pat Riley.
Yeah, see, you got, yeah, that's where I was going.
And, I mean, you'd have, it would, I mean, for the Warriors, it would have to be Don Nelson, right? I'm kidding.
That's a good one, though. That's a good one. You know what? If there's a guy who could trick up a lineup, nobody could trick a lineup as well as Don Nelson could trick a lineup. Go ahead.
No, the issue is Don Nelson probably wouldn't play Wilt, and he'd play Steven Jackson instead of Wilt and
Christian
try to go
Phelps.
Small.
He would play Uwe Blopp at the center position. And he'd bring Wilt off the bench because he'd think it would be a better matchup situation. I would go, there you go, my man Don Nelson back in Maui. I would go Al Attles. Al Attles would be on the sideline for my Warriors team.
It's a good call.
How about them apples?
It's a real good call. That's a good call.
That's not bad, I think. Prime Al Attles would be on the sideline against prime Pat Riley on the sideline for the Lakers. I don't think I put Phil Jackson on the sideline there. There are those, is it Bill Sharman? Was he one of the original Laker head coaches? I think a lot of people might put him for the long time. NBA fans might put him out there. But I like your Pat Riley call. That's a good one. I like your Pat Riley call a lot. All right, listen, we got a lot more coming up here today. Plenty of guests, a busy day of guests. I know later on today we're going to have Bobby Evans on. He's at 9 o'clock, and then at 9:30 we're going to have the commissioner of the Pac-12, Larry Scott, on. And we'll talk about how colleges are getting through all of this. But when we continue, we expect to hear from Jeremy Lin, who is going to be playing with the Beijing Sharks in the Chinese Basketball Association. And this could be a fun conversation, an in-depth conversation, but I would wonder how safe he feels being in China at this juncture. That's all coming straight ahead. That's what's coming up on the game. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. John Dickinson, Jim Cozumore, in for Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs, starring Jim Cozumore.
You know, I'm working on like 3 hours of fumes here, so I'm just telling you.
On 95.7 The Game.
Actually, today, John Dickinson's working on about 3 hours of fumes here. JD and Co's in with you here on a Friday. Joe Lowe and Dibs with the day off. They're going to be back sometime next week. As we get you into the holiday weekend, we're anticipating the arrival of Jeremy Lin. He is in Beijing, plays for the Beijing Ducks in the Chinese Basketball Association. We're going to talk about his experience there, when it's going to get going, how safe he feels. And also, he's part of a really important campaign called the Be the Light campaign. We're going to get into that as well. JD, how you feeling? We should let people know. For those of you just tuning in, JD, how late were you on the air last night?
I was on until 10 last night in the butcher shop with Joe Shasky filling in for Ryan Covey. And, so 6 to 10 last night, and then the quick turn, 6 to 10 this morning. I'm feeling great. It's amazing. Just, you know, I mentioned this earlier, the ability to, you do the show. I was able to get to bed by, 10:30, 11 o'clock. I got up at about 5. I probably got 2 or 3 hours more sleep than I would have had we been under the circumstances of drive into the city, do the show, drive home, get up at, would have been get up at probably 4 o'clock to get back into the city. So I'm doing all right. During the current circumstances, this is very much a workable schedule.
Well, you're certainly sounding great, my man. You're sounding like you're geared up and ready to go. What the heck? Why not just go right back at it tomorrow night or tonight? And you should go back to the butcher shop tonight.
If need be, I would be down.
You'd be down for it?
I'm ready to work, man. I'm ready to work.
That's my man.
You're a tough one. That's my man. All right, we're waiting for Jeremy Lin to join us here in just a couple of minutes. And it is going to be intriguing to find out what it's like, where he is, what life is like for the everyday person in Beijing, when their league will be up and running, what security or safety measures they're going to be going through. And in some ways, you wonder if some of these other leagues are templates for what we can do in America. For instance, JD, I don't anticipate there are a lot of hardcore Bundesliga fans, but there is soccer going on. There will be soccer games being played this weekend. And I wonder how much the American sports landscape is watching these other leagues to see how it's working. Hey, you know what? We're going to get to that in a second. We are lucky to be joined right now. I'm very happy to be joined by a guy who I know Bay Area fans still love, a great NBA career, a Warrior, a Knick, a Raptor, among others, currently with the Beijing Ducks. Jeremy Lin joining us here with me, Jim Cosimore, and John Dickinson. Jeremy, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing this evening? It's 11:30 at night for you right now. You're up late into the evening, Jeremy. How are things going in Beijing?
Oh, things are going well. And hey, if we're able to talk philanthropy and how to help people, it's all good. So I'm excited. I got some energy and ready to chat with you guys.
Good. We're definitely going to do that. We're going to talk about the Be the Light campaign in just a second. But I think a lot of people in having you on the air right now as you are there in Beijing, what is it like being there as you prepare for a season to start? And what is the safety and security feeling that you have being in China right now?
Yeah, right now, in terms of just being in China, there's no I don't feel unsafe. Life is like pretty much completely back to normal. The only thing that is not happening right now are huge gatherings like concerts and spectators at sporting events and things like that. But other than that, I mean, I'm talking restaurants, malls, traffic, day to day, anything you want to do, anywhere you want to go. I mean, life is, and there are very few infections. And so I think everyone feels pretty safe in terms of everyday life, at least in where I'm at in Beijing. And in other cities, there have been other reinfections and other things. And so that's not the case, you know, across all of China. But here in Beijing, things are pretty good. And in terms of training and stuff, we're still waiting to hear on when the season is going to start and if the season is going to start. But every day we're still playing and we're still practicing, sometimes up to three times a day. We have our team practicing and our younger team practicing, and we're playing 5-on-5 and you know, it's we're scrimmaging amongst ourselves, and so it's a time just to get better, but also it's a time where we can actually play basketball and enjoy the game while a lot of people don't have that privilege and that opportunity globally, and I think that's something that we try to always remind ourselves every day.
Now, Jeremy, you mentioned the fact that you guys are practicing and getting ready, but everything's still kind of in limbo. And over here in the United States, it's the same thing with the NBA. It sounds like they're inching toward a plan to try to resume their season. My question for you would be, what in your mind would be the staples as somebody that's played in the NBA and now is playing in the CBA? What has to be done to make it safe for the players to want to come back and try to finish the thing? Because I think everybody wants that to happen, but how do you do it in a safe and effective way?
Personally, I think you have to control, you have to make sure every single person that will be involved is safe. And I think that's going to take a lot of work. I'm talking not just the players and the staff and of every single team and the people who will be there, whether it's the workers or, I mean, even the people in the hotel. I mean, it's one thing, you know, you can create a hub and you can quarantine everybody or isolate everybody in that hotel. But if one person in that hotel is, you know, even a worker in the hotel is not okay, like that could be everybody. And when you're talking about, you know, so many people in such close quarters, and then you're playing a contact sport, that's no joke. And so really, I think it's about making sure and consistently making sure that everybody involved in that, it's almost like that small little ecosystem, like that everybody there is completely safe. And so, again, we've seen some things, you know, there's reports and other things about asymptomatic cases or things where it's a little bit harder to detect. And so it's not just a one-time thing where it's like, oh, well, everyone passed it today. I think there's going to have to be some level of consistency and also, some level of restrictions in terms of, like, you know, players and everyone else probably won't be able to just go about the city and do whatever they want as much as they want. Because, if one of them gets exposed and comes back, you know, you're looking at something that could be really serious.
Jeremy Lin joining us, 95.7 of the game. Jeremy is in Beijing, plays for the Beijing Ducks and the Chinese Basketball Association as they hope to be up and running. And Jeremy also involved in the Be the Light campaign. We'll get to that in just a second. Jeremy, in America, as you know, we hear about the league talking to the Players Association. They try to work together to come up with a plan for safety on how they could reopen. In China, how much do the players work with the CBA? I think Yao Ming, is he still the commissioner of the CBA?
So he's like the head of the Basketball Federation and okay. he's also in charge of the CBA as well. And so, it's a little bit different too. In the CBA, I'm considered, I'm a foreigner. And so, there's two foreigners that are allowed to play per game on each team. And so, we haven't, been involved in the discussion. It's more just us kind of waiting to hear what the results are or what the decisions are and kind of going with the flow on that end.
JD, I didn't mean to jump in. Can you just tell us what a typical day is like for you? Do you get up to the can you go to the gym to work out? Can you be there with teammates? Do they take your temperature wherever you go? Is there such a thing as a typical day for a professional athlete in Beijing during this time?
Oh, yeah. It's as typical as any other day. Aside from every day we get our temperature checked everywhere we go. If we go to the gym, we go to our apartment, we go to any restaurant, you get your temperature checked and you log in. And so you have an app that kind of shows whether you've had symptoms, where you've been the last, couple weeks and things like that. And so as long as your app is continuing to show that you have no abnormal conditions and things like that, you're free to kind of go to different places. But really, Beijing is completely up and running. Aside from big events like, concerts and sporting events and things like that, everything else is normal. The malls are packed. There's a ton of traffic. Everyone's back to work. Restaurants are very operational, and people are out and eating all the time. And so it's no different. We're playing 5-on-5. We have a ton of, scrimmages with each other within our own team every day, and we're practicing 3 times a day sometimes. We're in the weight room. We're everywhere. So really things are – it's basically like one long preseason training camp. I mean, it's what it feels like.
Now, Jeremy, you've lived the life of a professional athlete for a while. Going back through all of the different things that you're having to do now with your team, and all of the things that may have to be done for an NBA return back here in the States. How difficult of an adjustment would it be for a player to be contained in one place for maybe 1 to 3 months, and like just an adjustment as far as just the everyday life? I know a lot of guys will do it if it means that the season can continue as long as it's safe. But how much of an adjustment is just that basic change of having to be more confined compared to the way it normally is for a player?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, I haven't experienced that, because even for us, if we start back up, it would be the same thing. We would go to one of two cities, and half the teams will go to one city and the other half will go to the other, and you will just be in that hotel, and you're going to be going between the hotel and the arena and the hotel and the arena. And so it's definitely different. I think if you have your family there and things like that, it'll make things easier, but it is definitely going to be an adjustment. And I think the biggest thing, though, really, to be honest, it's like what I think is going to end up happening is, yeah, it's going to present its difficulties, but just the fact that we can compete again and play the game of basketball, like basketball to me right now would be more meaningful than ever because people will be tuning in online. There will be a lot of people. A lot of people across the world are in lockdown or some level of shelter in place or social distancing. And if we could have basketball return and people could watch online, it would be such a bright light and a bright spot to so many people. It would be that purposeful that, and also just being everyone being away from the game for so long, I think it would be a small price to pay, a small sacrifice to just be confined. But at least, you know, for us, we would be just so ecstatic to be able to play the game.
Jeremy is someone who...
Go ahead.
I know we're tight on time with Jeremy right now. So, Jeremy, I know that you've always been very active in communities that you have been in. You are still one of the most beloved Warriors of all time from your time with the Golden State Warriors. But right now, where the world is, you become involved in something called Be the Light campaign. It's your campaign. Tell us about that campaign and what you're going to do.
Yeah, the campaign is really just, again, to be the light, and that comes from my faith in terms of being able to love people the way that Jesus loved me. And so I've pledged to donate $500,000 and match another $500,000. And we have really, it's not about, you know, for us, the money is we're just kind of granting to organizations that are doing amazing work. And so whether it's Feeding America and Direct Relief, who provide meals and PPE, or, you know, specifically in the Bay Area, we've also highlighted Mobilize Love, who is aiming to give out 20,000 meals in the next few weeks. And you know, they're doing wraparound services and helping a lot of people on the front lines, people who don't even have food or their next meal. And so that's one of the organizations that we're highlighting, and they're doing great, great work led by Christian and Corey Huang. You know, for us, for me, it's just trying to mobilize people, you know, people who have the ability and the opportunity to be able to donate and help other people, and that we can continue to, you know, almost like support from behind the scenes all the people that are on the ground every single day, you know, battling the effects of this epidemic.
How can people get involved, Jeremy? Is there a website they can go to? What's the best way for them? Because, you know, a lot of people, not only in the Bay Area, throughout America, and in some cases the world, are Jeremy Lin fans. They might want to jump on board. What's the best way for people to get information?
The best one is either it's covid.jalen7.com, or they can just go to my Instagram, which is jalen7.com, and that will link you to the same link that I just said. But really, to be the most efficient, covid.jalen7.com.
That sounds great. How are the Beijing Sharks going to be this year once you get up and playing?
I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay. I think we are working really, really hard, and we are currently, pretty high in the standings, and so hopefully we can take it all the way.
I close each day here in the States by watching the opening to the Asian markets, and I watched this morning in Beijing as the premier was speaking, and it was fascinating to see. So I hope your life in China has been wonderful and has been what you were hoping that it would be, and so it's kind of neat. Can you tell me if Alibaba is going to do well? That's all I need to know. You're there, your boots on the ground for me, Jeremy. How's Alibaba doing?
You know, I was a Harvard econ major, but I know nothing about anything about econ. So, I mean, it's not that I don't know anything, but I would just say there are other people that you can go to for more professional advice.
Okay.
It might not be your go-to source for that, but
all right.
I appreciate the respect.
Man, I thought I had a guy who had the insight for me. Darn it. All right. Well, Jeremy, thank you so much. And thanks for joining us, but thanks for everything you're doing with the Be the Light campaign and trying to help others. You're always welcome here, and you're really beloved in the Bay Area. But thank you very much, and continued success with your program.
I appreciate it. Have a good one. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure. Always a pleasure. Jeremy Lin joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Nice of him to call. It was right now, I think it's 11:49 in the evening in Beijing. And JD, I cut you off, and I apologize for doing that. I know we were tight on time. Jeremy's got a lot of these interviews he's trying to do, but it's interesting to hear. It sounds like there's some semblance of normalcy. They're pickup games, 5-on-5. There's physicality going on. That's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah, and I really like what Jeremy had to say as far as, you know, hinting at the obligation and what, you know, leagues coming back can mean just for morale and just for hope, you know, for the common folks that are, you know, trying to put their lives back together and figure out ways to go out and live as normal a life as possible given the current circumstances. I thought it was refreshing to hear a professional athlete and somebody that's accomplished as much as Jeremy has have that sort of perspective. You know, I've heard Mark Cuban as an owner say that he believes there's an obligation for the league to come back, you know, for similar reasons, you know, if they can do it safely. And I just think it's great for players to have that understanding that it is bigger than just them. And yes, they need to be safe and compensated and all those things, not disagreeing with any of that. But the willingness to get back out there is important in this time, and it's important to a lot of people. So hearing him say that, I thought was pretty special, honestly.
And I also liked what he said about everyday life. Traffic is up and running. Malls are up and running. People are being smart about it. But there is life. Now, they don't have the mass gatherings for concerts. They don't have the mass gatherings for sporting events. But they do have a semblance of normalcy. And I think in hearing that, in hearing it come from China, where maybe there's more hope here in America, where there can be a confidence level of we can get back to some type of normalcy. You know, it's funny. There are some areas of our lives where it doesn't feel normal. And there are some areas of life where it seems like it's every day. You know, if you have been to a Home Depot or a Lowe's in the last 2.5 months, it's everyday life. The parking lots are filled. People are walking all over the place. They're picking something up off a shelf. They might put it back on the shelf, and the next person comes by and picks the same thing up off the shelf. Or it's the same things in the grocery stores. And yet there are other areas of life where we're a little bit more cautious and not certain. But to hear Jeremy Lin say that it seems like, you know, again, we always have the caveat of they're doing it in a smart fashion, but I got the sense that he kind of lives a normal life, didn't you?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And it's taken some time, obviously, to get to that point, considering everything, and there's different protocols that are in place. But yeah, I did. And it was almost surprising to hear, to be honest.
Me too.
I kind of thought, huh, but in a good way.
Oh, I agree. In an absolute good way. I thought we would hear, you know, we're confined to a hotel, we can only eat from there, they take us on a special shuttle to the practice facility, they only take a few of us at a time, they take our temperatures. I was expecting more of a lockdown situation, but it sounds to me like it's not so much a lockdown situation. And I was, you know, mentioning how I close my day by watching the Asian markets open. Well, yesterday they did have a big, I'll call it a conclave, of the Communist Party, in which Chairman Xi was there, and their premier, I believe his name is Li, was speaking. And I'll be honest, JD, it was a packed house of people sitting in an auditorium-like setting. The majority of them had masks on, but they were all seated like they were in. You could have easily envisioned a play or a dance recital going on in the same type of hall with people seated next to one another, which I found intriguing that, again, they're wearing masks. They didn't appear to be special. I believe N95 is the mask that people talk about. They didn't appear to be special masks. They appeared to be the surgical masks that you would see a dentist or a doctor wear anywhere, or oftentimes people wearing out in public. But I found that intriguing, that maybe there is a sense of comfort right now there, and I hope we can get to that same sense of comfort here, and even getting to a point of not being afraid to go to some of these events. For instance, I would not be afraid. If the NBA played in Vegas, I would not be afraid to be in the facility while that event was going on. Now, I don't know, you cover a lot of events, JD. Do you have a stance where you'd be right now if they were to hold events in Vegas?
I would be willing to go for sure. I would be, and look, it's different for everybody. So I think I would be willing to go. I would be willing to cover things. Frankly, I would be willing to cover things as normal, but you know, just because you have people, you know, that are willing to do it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the right thing to do. And there's people that are far smarter than I, you know, that make those decisions. But I would be willing to, I would be willing to cover anything, frankly, you know, as normal. If there were, you know, 8 games a day and the Warriors were one of them in Vegas, yeah, I would be fine with that. In Orlando, fine. If they were playing without fans at Chase Center, fine. I would have no issue with going through any of the protocols, temperature checks, wearing a mask, whatever needs to be done. I would fully be on board with going and covering it as normal, doing the pre and the post game, covering it as a reporter, the digital side, whatever.
No, I agree with you, and I think that's great. And I also think it's understandable and fine if someone says, you know what, I'm not there yet.
Totally.
My hope is that we don't have warring factions of it. Don't look down on someone who doesn't want to go. But if you're someone who doesn't want to go, don't shame somebody who does want to go. Let's try to work towards an end on this thing, and hopefully we can do that in the sporting realm. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Final hour of the Big Show, Joe Lo and Dibs with John Dickinson and Jim Cozumel. When we continue, a little baseball conversation. Our good friend Bobby Evans, you remember him from his time as the GM with the Giants. Major League Baseball, if they play, maybe going with the DH in the National League. What are your thoughts? We'll hear from Bobby Evans. When all of this continues, we've got a quick timeout, and we'll get to Bobby, and then we got Larry Scott coming at 9:30 to talk about the college side of this, the commissioner of the Pac-12. That's all coming up with J.D. and Coase on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.